Expounded Universe, Season 9, Episode 9, To the Pain, the book Crucible by Troy Denning, the year 2013, with your hosts, Jeff and John. Don't forget to trim out those pauses later. Let's go.
And it's time to get back into Expounded Universe, the Star Wars Expanded Universe novel discussion podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and that's John right over there, and he's about to say hello out of his face.
Oh, no, not my face.
No, you didn't even say hello. You did nothing right.
Nothing.
Nothing.
You ruined it.
What are you even?
You ruined everything.
How are you talking like that in the first place?
Oh, years of practice. I studied under the great Jim Carrey.
God damn it. I was all set to make an Ace Ventura joke, but then I remembered how racist that movie is, and I was like, nah, maybe I better not.
Yeah, see, but you don't have to reference the movie.
just the character himself. No, you're absolutely right. And plus, I mean, I guess it could be that that's not one of the more racist parts of the movie.
Well, I mean, mostly it's very transphobic.
Well, I'm thinking of the second one. For some
Well, yes.
When I picture him talking out of his butt, I specifically picture him doing the Tarzan yell in a tree.
That's very strange.
I must have just seen the second one more recently.
Huh.
I mean, granted, that's because the first one is a crock of shit, and I saw it once, and I was like, dude, fuck this. I don't even remember how I ended up seeing the second one. It must have been at a party that someone
must
put it on.
Must have been.
Because I was like, no.
It must have been love, but it's over now.
At least I know what that is.
Yay.
That's something.
When I was a young boy.
The other day, or just in our Discord right now,
just
someone was
getting shit for not knowing that.
No, in our Discord right now, someone was saying that we are probably elderly beyond Gen X or something like that, because neither of us appear to know what My Chemical Romance is.
Oh, I do. You don't.
I know what My Chemical Romance is. I can't name any of their songs, and I assume I would not care for them.
Look, I'm hip with the kids, okay?
But I don't. It's not that I don't know what they are. They're some kind of vampires, right?
Some kind of vampires.
Said wrong. You gotta tell me.
You're
if
not
I'm
as
wrong.
Far off as you might think. They're mummies.
Oh, and they're still alive. You say?
Yeah, mummies alive.
My Chemical Romance is the mummies alive.
Indeed.
Yeah. Okay. So, how are you?
I am so good.
You peachy? Okay, that's good to hear.
Yeah, I'm a Georgia peach, baby.
Mmm. You gotta get a. Run my little thumb down a night rhine-soaked twist or whatever the second. Why did I start the second verse?
What?
No one remembers the second verse. What's wrong with me?
Ah.
I squeezed a rotting peach in my fist and dreamed about you, woman. Am I dating myself even worse?
No.
What if I told you that was...
What if I told you that peaches come from a can?
Yeah, they were put there by a man. Yeah.
See, that's a reference you can make and is fine. Don't just try to jump into a line nobody knows from the song.
Yeah, I know. That was a mistake on my part.
Yeah, see, you gotta get on my level of dumb singing into the microphone stuff.
I think I might survive.
No, you won't.
Damn it.
You'll die.
Oh, fuck.
You'll die!
Okay, this is nothing. None of this was anything. We should probably start over, but we won't. Instead, I'm going to start by telling folks that we just read chapters 17 and 18 of Crucible. And, John, where do we start?
We are starting right back up at the Sabacc table.
God damn it.
Seeing that we were starting at the Sabacc table, I was like, oh, God, we're still doing this?
Another whole chapter of this.
But then they were like, oh, hey, and now there's like three other players in here and they're no longer playing for questions.
I was so mad about this because basically all the cool stuff happened between the chapters.
Yeah.
We cut back to Han. He's still tied to the Sabacc table being forced to play space poker. Only now there's a bunch of relevant characters here.
Yeah. Now, instead of just Kratheus and Marvid, we also have Holly Serac is here.
Yeah, the questing
knight. As well
as
her shitty clone.
There's a dumb clone of her here named Holly Turok or something like that. Holly 2, I think it was also said.
Or, as Han calls her, Ditto.
We're calling her Ditto.
Yeah, Ditto used Mimic.
Yeah.
And it was super effective.
It was super effective in this situation. You know what? That's old enough that reference, because this book's from 2013. He knew what a fucking ditto was.
He knew what he was doing.
He knew exactly. And here's the problem with him calling her ditto. It's either a Pokemon reference or it's a reference to a type of specific unused Earth technology that's like already old for us.
Yeah.
It's like calling her mimeograph.
No, it was very strange when he was like, hey, ditto. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why would you call anyone ditto?
I probably because, I mean, copy is pretty much the simplest term you could use.
I mean, mimic it's is not, what I would
yeah,
assume.
Yeah, just shapeshifter or clone.
Mimic you.
Clone seems right. Well, there's no use in your name. Am I just going to call you, ooh, Holly Ciroc?
Ooh.
Double up them O's. So no, Holly Ciroc, the questing knight, the only one that ever got named, who was sent out here to find the Mortis monolith, is here along with a crappy clone of her named Ditto, who is also a Jedi.
Yeah, they managed to, I guess, clone the midichlorians right out of her.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a
Bardoon,
a Mandalorian who has, I guess, been infused with Darkseid?
Yeah, this character's confusing. So his name is Bardoon, and he's a Mandalorian. He's a big, mean-looking Mando. But
he only speaks in third person.
He doesn't call himself Bardoon. He calls himself the name that is written on his jumpsuit, which is Joram Nass. And he will only call himself that. And he's, yeah, and like John was saying, he speaks entirely in third person. And he's just a mean piece of shit who somehow has the Force.
Yeah. So this chapter really establishes that the Krefs are not just weird businessmen and trying to, like, I guess, take over a whole bunch of nonsense, but also they have genetic experiments where they're, like, making clones and trying to see if they can turn someone into a Force user.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and venture a guess about what's happening at a certain point here, but they definitely are doing cloning and technology. We're going to find that out in the next chapter. Not cloning exactly, but like sort of cloning.
Well, I mean, we already know that Dina Yuss is a biot.
Yeah, but now we know what a biot is and how it works.
Yeah.
Because she gets to explain it to us. But yeah, we are now seeing our first biot in Holly 2.
Yeah.
But I don't think Bardoon is one. I think there's something.
It's a Mandalorian that got infused with power.
Yeah. No, what I'm saying is that I think he didn't get power through a cloning process. I think because we get a whole thing in this chapter.
No, I know.
No one knows how the hell this happened, apparently.
Well,
everyone's upset about this guy.
I mean, given that we're, especially in the next chapter, very much led to believe that this is whatever the Mortis monolith thing is.
Yeah.
I assume they probably, like, shoved a Mandalorian in there and he came back with Force power or something.
That seems reasonable. So, yeah, Han is... They're no longer playing for questions. They are
Although
instead now...
kind of, but, like, when we start, it's just, oh, we're playing to the pain.
Yeah, like, straight up, they have a probe droid floating around in the room with them. Or not the probe droid. That's the Fremen on the Frem-Fram.
Yeah, the interrogation droid.
You have an interrogation. Yeah, yeah,
the ball. Big black ball.
Yeah, the big black ball in there floating around ominously. And anytime someone loses or like folds or anything, the antes that they have to pay out are just pain delivered by this droid, which will simulate specific types of pain in the form of fancy injections it gives you.
Yeah. So at this point, I think we've had, like, Han had a simulated, like, his hand crushed or something,
mm-hmm.
And...
I mean, they're doing... This is very Texas Hold'em, where there's, like, a small blind and
a big blind.
Yeah, there's, like, forced antes and everything, so I have to assume that unless you are the smaller big blind, you are just folding every hand. Like, hey, you want to play this game? No.
Oh, good God, no.
No, I mean, what am I going to win? You getting hurt? That doesn't help me with anything.
Well, I mean, unless you're the weird Force Mandalorian who's like, yes, fear.
Yeah.
Ooh, I love it.
Yeah. So they are playing, they're just betting types of pain, like having a fingernail pulled out and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Of course, nothing is actually happening to them. They're just getting injections and like mind probes and shit. Oh, and it's not just them. The Krefs are still here, although the entire hand that gets played out, Kratheus has already folded, so he's not part of it.
Yeah.
And also, Myrta Gev is still here, and she's the dealer.
Yeah, still the dealer, but she's lost, I guess, the nose brace, so we are to believe that we have been here for some time.
Yes. Yeah. So we start with Han looking at his cards, and he's worried that he's developed a tell because he's suffering an awful lot of pain.
Yeah, he's like, at this point, I can't just keep a straight face because even without seeing my cards, I'm just flinching. So I can't keep my shit together anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he looks at his cards and they add up to a zero.
Yeah. He's just got an absolute garbage hand.
Yeah. That's a trash hand. The only thing it could possibly be worse is going over, because going over could
auto bust.
There's nothing you can do about it. Yeah. Auto bust the moment you do it. I'm still not sure they're playing with a randomizer, because you'd think he'd be like, oh, a zero. Okay, I will do nothing until those cards are something. But instead, there's never a question about whether or not those cards are anything but a zero for the rest of this hand.
Well, yeah, because he locks them in.
No, why would you lock them in? They're shit.
Yeah, he locks them in as part of his bluff because
that's fair.
He is Han Solo.
Yeah.
And he does not need to play Sabacc.
I mean, his whole thing here is he's just, at this point, he's just buying time. He's like, as long as I can keep these two grumpy idiots at the table making fun of me and trying to torturing me, it's more time for the Jedi to show up and rescue my ass.
Yeah. And, you know, he's still sort of sticking to his plan of, I'm trying to turn the brothers against each other.
Yes. Yeah, and so far it hasn't worked especially well, and they've moved on to this playing for pain thing as a way to punish him. So we learned right away that Bardoon just bets all in every turn forever.
He just keeps betting things that are like, ooh, I'm going to have someone like, you're going to get the pain of losing your arm or getting your dick cut off,
yeah,
or whatever, because he's just here to make people afraid.
Yeah, he's a pain in the ass. He's the kind of person you don't want to have at a regular, like, friendly poker table, because every time the turn goes to him, he just raises again.
And
he's like, ah, let's just fucking play already. Raise!
Yeah, and you also have the other person that you're like, why are you at this table? Which is the Ohali 2 is just, oh, I'll play any hand. I don't care. I'm just here to have fun. I want to see what the last card is.
Yeah.
I just want to know.
Yeah, Ohali 2 only folds if she is absolutely certain that she is definitely going to lose.
Yeah, she wants to get all of the cards, look at everything, and if she still has a shit hand or whatever, then she'll fold.
So presumably she just doesn't care about pain,
I guess.
Yeah. Ohali Sirach, the original, is also here, and basically, Han is still playing for questions because he doesn't care if anyone gets hurt. So when it's his turn to do a bet, when he gets a zero, he's like, okay, I don't want to play for pain. I want to play to ask Ohali a question. Is that thing the Mortis Monolith?
Yeah.
And they're like, that's not a, you can't do that.
Raise a question from pain.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, but a question could be painful for someone.
Well, that comes up because the first thing that happens is, you're right. I apologize. What actually happens is the first thing is Marvid asks Han a question as his bet. He's like, all right, well, I'm raising it, and my thing is a question for Han, which is, who shot Mama?
Now, who threw Mama from the train?
This comes out of left field if you're reading the book very slowly, like we are. You may have forgotten the one reference a long time ago to how the two Kalumi brothers have, they lost their mom in some, who was some sort of information broker.
That's their entire driving force for this whole book.
Yeah, I know, but it's been a while since we mentioned it. Their mom got shot between the lobes, and she became bad at business, and it ruined their lives.
Yeah.
Well, sort of, except now they're the richest people in the galaxy. So
they're like, oh, for a while we were poor.
Yeah, that's their whole big anger thing. So they're like, who shot our mom, Han Solo? There's a 12% chance it was you.
Yeah.
And he's like, I've told you on a number of occasions I did not kill your mom.
Yeah, you've got me hooked up to these dumb fucking machines to tell you if I'm lying or not, and they are telling you that I am telling the truth with a 12% margin of error, and you're like, nah, not good enough.
Yeah, so when he gets that bet to him, he's like, fine, I'll take that bet, I don't fucking care. I mean, at least it's not me losing another fingernail or whatever. But in return, my next raise is a question to Ohali, is this thing the Mortis Monolith? And they're like, you can't do that. You can't make a question or whatever. And Marvid's like, yeah, it's fine. Who gives a shit? He can ask all he wants. It's not like she fucking knows. It turns out no one knows. No one knows who shot Mama.
No. Han doesn't know. Because very clearly he just talked to her at one point and left. And sometime after that, she got shot. But they have been so one track about blaming Han Solo that they have, like, not just murdered, but destroyed the lives of anyone who even knew him on the station where they were.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, yeah, there was...
It gets crazy what they've done so far.
Oh, yeah, they're like, oh, there was someone else that you talked to on that planet, so we killed them. The bartender that you got a drink from, we murdered.
Well, the whole thing is they've killed... They want to be absolutely 100% with no variables certain that they got revenge for their mom. So they killed every single potential suspect for killing their mom, and every single... person who wasn't a suspect but was involved anyway, just on the off chance that they missed some detail.
Yeah.
They've killed 15 other specific people who had a chance of being the person who killed her.
Yeah.
Han's like, I didn't do it. And they're like, well, there's no one else we can go after at this point. We've killed every single other possible person who might have done it but you. The attempt to kill you didn't go off as planned, so here we are playing cards. And he's like, wait, are you serious? The thing where you crashed a asteroid and killed 30,000 people on Lando's mining planet was just to kill me? And they're like, yeah, well, you know, a good plan does two things.
They're like, yeah, I mean, we were already planning to fuck up that entire operation. It's just the fact that you were there, we figured, you know, two birds, one meteor.
Yeah, yeah, so we're getting a sense of who these people actually are. And Han's just like, that's fucking ridiculous. There is a 12% chance I'm lying. I'm assuring you I didn't kill your mom. This is a waste of everybody's time. You might as well just kill me or whatever.
And I love that these... ultra brilliant super brains are like, have you ever considered that maybe it was someone not associated with Han? Because all they've done is murder anyone Han talked to.
Well, they had five specific suspects besides Han who had nothing to do with Han. They were just other people their mother met with that day.
Yeah. What if it was someone your mother met with 3 weeks ago that came back and shot her? What are you doing?
Well, they like they said, they killed five specific suspects. They're still after Han, and they killed 15 other people who were just like around that day.
Yeah.
Just to see, well, someone might have mind controlled them. I don't know. So their whole thing is literally any potential. So they're not trying to find out who did it. They're just trying to kill every single person who might have.
I mean, they are trying to find who did it, but they're also just like, meh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever.
They have a blanket structure to justice here where they're like, well, we'll just kill anyone who might have done it. And then eventually the person who did it will be dead.
It's real dumb. I'm going to go ahead and say that right now.
Yeah. So we go through that round of betting. Of course, Bardoon raises it again, and he's like, a burned eyeball.
Because
that's him. That's his whole thing. And then it goes to O'Holly, who spends a lot of time looking at her cards, closing one of her eyes, looking at her cards again. And Han's like, oh, she's got nothing. She has a middling hand because she's considering if she should stay in the game based on what a burned eye would do to her ability to keep playing.
Yeah, it was O'Holly, too.
Yeah.
Because the original O'Holly just folded immediately.
Yeah, she folds and gets the fingernail removed, shot right away.
As the ante.
Yeah. So she's already lost out on the ante. The other O'Holly is just like,
I'm bad at games and I'll just stay in for whatever.
I'll see that action. And then it comes around to Marvin again, and he's all set to make his big second question bet or whatever when a random adjutant comes in and is like, hey, Miss Rain has arrived and she wishes to speak to the two of you privately and urgently.
Oh, yeah. Because they're just like, oh, well, fucking send her in. It's like, no, she said this should be in private, and also it is an emergency. And they're just like, oh, but my dumb game.
Yeah. Now, Han tries to wrest power out of this because Kratheus, who had already folded, is just leaving. And Marvid turns to leave, and he's like, Han's like, hold on.
If you're folding, you owe us a burned eye.
Yeah, you anteed, and you matched the bet. So you owe us a burned eye and a removed fingernail. And then he looks at Kratheus because he's like, I'm going to try and get Kratheus to enforce this on Marvin. But Kratheus just turns around and is like, yeah, we're not actually playing the game. Fuck you, Han.
Yeah. Like, well, but you have to respect the bet you did. Why?
No, we don't. He actually does say, why would we do that? What would be the reason that we would play by the rules of our own game? But can you think of one? I can't.
Yeah. It's nice that you think that you've got us here in a gotcha situation, but... we run this, and who gives a fuck? I don't care.
It's weird that you thought we wouldn't do this. And finally, Hanzo's like, that's not how you do things. Like, he's offended on behalf of Sabacc here.
Oh, he is just so incensed that they would go back on a bet.
Yeah. So, finally, Marvin's like, all right, well, this is how we'll play it out, then. If you lose this hand, you will just also suffer the punishments that I just welched out on, because eat a dick, Han.
Yeah, because... Han's trying to be like, oh, well, you got to do a thing, and you got to whatever.
Kratheus would do it.
And even Marvin's like, they get into a conversation, and at some point he's like, you know, but we just need you to tell the truth. And he's like, well, why would I tell the truth? You know, it's not like you're keeping bets. And this just makes Marvin go, all right, fine, fuck you. If you lose, you're getting everything. I don't care. You're a dickbag.
None of this matters. I mean, ultimately, this hasn't worked especially well, so we're just going to torture you anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, you guys have fun, and we'll be back in a bit. And then they leave, and Myrta, for whatever reason, is like, yep, all right, well, bets to you. And Han's like, seriously, why are we still playing? There's nothing to gain from it at this point.
Yeah, I mean, the two people that actually wanted this game to happen and wanted information or just the pleasure of watching people be tortured are gone. Now it's just, hey, did you guys want to bet to hurt each other for nothing?
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, if you're Han, you go, yeah, I'll think about it anyway. Just give me a minute. And by that, I mean I'm not betting anymore.
I'm just going to sit here because the card or the bet's to me, so I'm just going to sit here. But instead, he's like, yeah, okay, I raise you, Bardoon, to the death, the feeling of being dead.
Yeah, because he has read the table at this point, and mm-hmm. he's like, I'm pretty sure that O'Holly 2 has a garbage hand.
Mm-hmm.
He was pretty sure Marvid had a fucking amazing hand.
Yeah, because he was super mad to have to leave.
Well, because he has been ridiculously skittish on the idea of taking pain.
That's true, too.
And he actually went in on the idea of, like, a burnt eyeball. So he was like, oh, he has to have, like, an actual sabacc.
Right.
But then he also notices, yeah, fucking Bardoon is mostly doing this to fuck with people and doesn't himself want to suffer any consequence.
Right.
So if he thinks, oh, Han's got me beat on this, he's not going to want to, you know, feel the pain of drowning to death.
Yeah. So Myrta immediately tries to call that off. She's like, you can't bet death. That's, we're playing for pain. And Han's like, dying is painful.
He's like,
I
hey,
just want to experience
bot.
The feeling of dying.
Yeah, he bot, can you simulate drowning to death on someone? And the bot's just like, yeah, sure, I could do that. Yeah. It's probable that they'd fall into a coma for a bit, though.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, well, it won't kill him then.
That seems reasonable to me. And he looks to Bardoon, who looks concerned over it. And so Han's like, and I'll tell you another thing. And he puts down some additional bet or something, but Myrta calls him on it. And she's like, yeah, you can't string bet. Which is actually a regular thing in poker that was kind of neat, where she's like, no, you set a bet, you gauged his reaction, and then you said more bets. You can't do that. That's against the basic rules of poker and sabacc. So he's like, yeah, what do you give a fuck? Who cares?
What are you even doing here?
What is the point of this, Myrta? Why are you playing by so many rules?
And I mean, at that point, he just gestures towards the torture bot, and he's like, what exactly do they have on you that you, a Mandalorian, who normally would be like, oh, we'll take jobs for the money, but we have a code, would sit here and watch several people get tortured constantly while you have to be a dealer in a fucking poker game? Like, what blackmail material do they have?
Yeah, and she's like, well, let's just say they pay really well. And he's like, no, that's not good enough. That's not the thing.
No,
no,
pay-
there's...
Pay would not get you to do this.
Yeah, because you're already completely breaking your code, and you will probably assume that everyone at this table has to die so you can get whatever it is they're giving you without losing your face.
Yeah, and so eventually she's like, oh, they don't have anything on me. And Han makes the leap to, oh, if they don't have something on you, it's what they're giving you.
Yeah, it's an offer they're making that they're holding over you. It's not blackmail. It's stringing along a promise.
Yeah, it's okay. Well, it's not just the money. I know it has to be something else, and probably specifically for you, which leads him to, oh my God, they promised you that they would get rid of the nanovirus on Mandalore so that you and your grandpa could go there.
Yeah, that's something that we forget about a lot because it only showed up once several episodes ago, but apparently Mandalore is currently uninhabitable by members of the Fett family.
Yeah.
If you're related to Boba Fett and you go to Mandalore, you instantly die because of nanoviruses in the atmosphere.
Yeah, someone released a nanovirus in there specifically as a fuck you to Boba Fett mm-hmm. and family.
It was an attempt to kill them. They were thought to be on the planet at the time.
But now it's just, you know, in the air so they can't go back.
Yeah, and they can feel it. They can feel it in the air tonight.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's, you know, drum solo. Okay, so...
Now, this snaps Bardoon out of his, like, blah, dark side revelry where he's like, wait, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You got bought out for that?
Yeah, because he whips his head around at her so hard that his neck snaps. He's like, the fuck did you... is that seriously what you agreed to? And I gotta wonder at that point if he's Bardoon when he's saying that or if he's Joram Nass.
Well, I gotta assume he's Bardoon because he no longer is doing the, like, Joram Nass says.
Yeah, he just
goes... just drops that affectation and is like, wait, you gotta be fucking shitting me.
Yeah, I assume because that's... not the kind of thing that would be honorable to drag additional Mandalorians into.
Well, yeah, because at this point, he's like, oh, you have put tons of Mandalorian lives on the line and have gotten them killed, as well as making us break our code,
mm-hmm.
just sort of fucking us over as hard as possible.
On the off chance that they will let you go home.
Yeah. And it's only good for two people.
Yeah.
Like, this offer that they are making isn't, oh, we're going to do a grand favor for all Mandalorians. It's, hey, we're going to do a favor for you and your grandpa. That's it. And you've sold us all out for that.
Yeah.
And she even goes like, well, the pay's good.
Yeah. No, and Bardoon is particularly, something happened to Bardoon that turned him into this thing.
Well, I mean, that's also why he's got to be as pissed off as he is. Because
yeah.
He's like, oh, you let them experiment on me as part of this just so you could go home.
Yeah, no, this is it's a surprising moment, and it's weird because Han, of course, is playing all the angles as best as he can, so now he's like, all right, I guess I'm siding with Bardoon.
Yeah, he's like, well, I guess this guy's my friend now, because he seems to be not okay with things.
So he leans into Myrda more. He's like, they're not going to give you that.
He's like, what do you think the Krefs are going to do? They're going to string you along until they don't need you and not give you shit. Did you not just see them leave the table and the bet when it was no longer convenient for them? They don't give a shit about their promises.
Yeah, and for what she is so driven by this desire to go back home to Mandalore, that this argument, which should really work on her efficiently, where it's an object lesson in the fact that these two will break any promise they feel like.
Yeah, it's like you just saw them go, yeah, I know I said I would do this, but I'm not going to. Fuck you. You're like, look, it's very clear that's what they do.
Have you seen them pay anyone what they promised for anything illicit ever?
Yeah, these are just horrible murder brains.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
Honestly, I kind of wanted him to follow up further with like, hey, have you seen anyone else that they made like deals with and then they went ahead and paid them at the end?
What kind of grand promises have you seen them make to people and then
you had to kill
them?
How many people have you had to kill instead of them paying them off?
How many people did they send their little pet 19-year-old Sith out to murder instead of actually giving them something?
Yeah. So he's working her over pretty hard on this.
And
like,
she gets pissed off enough that the end of the chapter is her just going like, all right, fuck you, that's enough, and hitting the pain button and shutting him down.
Yeah, he just gets knocked unconscious by the pain button. I think she hits him with it a few times as warnings as well. And that's pretty much the chapter.
Yeah.
Sadly, we don't get any follow-ups further with Ohali Serac, other than a reminder that I had forgotten that she is, and so is her clone, Duro.
Yeah, she's a Duros.
Yeah. I would have expected another sexy-ass human after Tahiri Vela.
But no.
Or Savara Rain.
I am very glad that it's a Duros, because I'm like, that's rad.
Yeah. That's what you want to see. You don't want to see every single character being some porn trace Jedi.
Well, yeah, because you're like, oh, what is it? Oh, all the main characters are sexy humans, and then any side character we can just make into a weird alien. But we want people to fuck our main characters.
That's true. We want them to want it.
Ugh.
Meanwhile, remember how in the last episode it was mostly just the side episode? Oh, actually, it was two episodes ago when it was just Lando hanging around with Omad Keg and Ben, and they were just standing there talking about a picture of a monolith on a screen for a long time? Well, what if also Luke and Leia were there?
Yeah. In addition to the fact that in the last chapter, Myrda Gev had her nose brace thing off,
mm-hmm.
also in this, Luke and Leia have force trance healed themselves to the point where they're no longer fucked up.
They also had a bunch of surgeries done and stuff.
Well, yeah, they had Bacta wraps. They had a whole bunch of like little med droid things going on. And so at this point, he's like, okay, most of my burns are just down to like little blemishes. My ankle feels fine. I'm not, like, hobbling or anything. I'm basically good to go. Leia's not, you know, wincing anytime she moves because she got raked across the back.
Yeah, Nargon got her real good. So they're healed, but they don't look right yet, and they're still kind of wounded. It feels like it's probably been a couple of days.
I mean, I have no idea, because at this point, they're like, oh, Omad Keg has just been going from random transponder to random transponder around the bubble, mm-hmm. which, if you don't remember, they had found out the other episode that there is a bubble of weird space.
Mm-hmm. There's a bubble of weird space with a bizarre monolith that looks like a D8 stuck in the middle of it, and everyone assumes that that's where the base is. And in fact, during this chapter, Dina Yus will confirm that yes, they have their home base on this big thing, which they refer to as the artifact.
Yeah, and it's not like, oh, that weird D8 is the base. They have a base on that because that thing is gigantic, mm-hmm. and they've just sort of, like, barnacled onto it.
Yeah, they've just built into it, and presumably they're trying to figure out what it is and how to use it, but it's almost entirely incidental.
Yeah, well, I mean, Dina Yus even says here, oh yeah, they were, last time I was there, working on trying to break their way in, and it, like, immediately Luke's going, that sounds like the literal worst idea you could have.
Mm-hmm.
This is a weird dark side force, like, monolith that they don't know anything about, mm-hmm. and they're just gonna go running in there head first.
Well, I'm pretty sure, I think we put the pieces together here, and they got their way in there, and all they did was stuff a Mandalorian in there, and he came out Baroon,
yeah.
or Bardoon, or whatever his name is. That's what happened.
Yeah, because right now, I assume it's just, what is this? Oh, it just pulses with dark side energy, and if you let someone cook long enough in there, they come out all weird and twisted.
I'm gonna guess, and we'll see who's right. I don't think you've got a super strong, you didn't, like, name a horse there exactly, but here's my horse in this race. He's got a ghost in him. He's got a case of Sith ghost. He should probably do some cocaine about it. But yeah, he's got ghosts in his blood because they stuffed him in there, and I'm gonna guess that the Mortis monument, or whatever they're calling it, is just full of dead Siths. It's just storage unit for Sith ghosts, and they put him in there, and the first one to get at him was like, I am Joram Nass, and now I control this meat puppet.
So what you're saying is, this is the containment unit, and the Krefs are the EPA that came in and shut it down.
That is correct, yeah. Is that the thing? Is that the reference you're making? Or
it's Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters, excuse me.
Jesus,
no,
man.
Sorry. Oh, wow, that was bad.
Fuck.
I'm having a bad day. What do you want?
I mean, it's... I'll let you slide on My Chemical Romance.
Well, good, because I have no idea who the fuck that is. I'm kidding. It's a band. I know it's a fucking band. I just do not know any of their songs off the top of
my
head.
That's fine. You don't need to.
Yeah. I bet I would probably know their number one jam if someone were to play it. I'd be like, oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. The one that I was singing.
Yeah. Oh, is that what you were doing? That's what
Black
that was?
Black Parade.
Oh, my God. I thought that was older than them.
No.
How are they? Are they old?
Are they, I mean,
like,
not
really. Are
they, really,
like, old dudes?
No. I mean, they're younger than us.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I'm having a day. Sorry I'm 40, everybody. I apologize. I'd like to take this moment.
Oh, I would like to take this moment to cackle at you like a mad bog witch.
Hey, we've made this show last 5 or 6 years at this point. You'll be me before you know it.
The curse will be upon you.
I used to be with it.
Now I don't know what it is.
All I know is it's weird and scary.
It'll happen to you.
So, yeah, I can make 25-year-old Simpsons references.
Good. Great.
Are we clear? Are we okay?
We're fine.
You had an elephant. His name was Stampy.
You loved him. Jesus. Okay.
All right.
Anyway, so they are trying to figure out what the plan of action is, because they're like, all right, it's just going to be sort of a matter of time until we actually find a way into this bubble, because Omad Keg is just going from displaced thing to displaced thing until he finds an entrance. But they're like, all right, what's our plan of attack? We're going to shoot missiles up the tailpipe, and then we're going to drop these YVH fucking murder droids.
Oh, we have a whole
down.
Conversation there where all of a sudden, Luke has to be like, wait, you brought battle droids? And Lando, to his credit, is like, yeah, I had a couple of spare ones lying around, and not, bitch, I made every
what
one
do you
of
think my main job
that's
is
that's my whole thing, Luke. I'm the battle droid guy.
I mean, yes, I used to just be the mining guy, and I kind of still am the mining guy. But for that entire Eugene Vaughn crisis, I was the battle droid guy.
I own every battle droid there is. I always have some around.
What do you think? I go into my closet, I get three or four battle droids, fall out.
I do appreciate this type of battle droid, though. The battle droids from the EU are so different than the battle droids from Phantom Menace. Apparently, they're actually dangerous, and they don't just kind of bobble around and say, Roger, Roger.
Yeah, no, the YVHs in particular are pretty much just Terminators.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we look kind of like humans, and we're nonstop murder machines that don't give a fuck about anything.
Yeah, so Tahiri perks up dramatically at the sound of YVHs and is like, which ones did you bring? Oh, my God. And he's like, oh, Series 8 S class. And she's like, you brought space ones? Yes. Nice. And of course, she's like, I could kiss you. And he's like, well, I don't think Tendra would especially.
Well, you know, given the situation, Tendra. And she's like, okay,
come on.
Keep it in your pants, Lando.
Come on. How come I can't say fun things without you making it creepy?
Quit sniffing my hair. God.
I do not need a shoulder rub.
It does not matter how tense I look. I will never want a shoulder rub.
I'm barefoot by choice. Quit looking.
But at this point, Lando sort of gets cut out of the operation because they're like, all right, well, our plan is you shoot some missiles. We hot drop in with a few droids over here at the lab, because Dina's like, oh, that's probably where Han is, because they don't take prisoners. They're just doing shit to him.
And they don't bother with hostages. Anytime you think they have hostages, they already killed them.
Yeah, they're either dead or they are conducting experiments. That's basically all the Krefts do.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, we'll shoot the hangar so we don't get, like, other ships out here with missiles. We'll hot drop in with the droids over at the experiment lab. You just keep it in the air and fly around until we need you. And Lando's like, aw, come on.
Top cover. I'm cool. And like, first of all, you're like 75. Second of all, we actually do need top cover. I mean, we're not going to land the Falcon and park it.
Yeah, this isn't like, all right, everyone remember where we were. We're in Mickey 7.
Hopefully, oh, I put the club on. No one should mess with our ship.
Yeah, just in case the hangar missiles don't get everything and we need some cover for our escape, please just keep it in the air.
Keep the engine running a little. Oh, but I was going to park it and put in one of those sunshades that looks like people sitting in the Falcon. I love doing that.
Come on.
It's a classic.
Ugh.
But no, him and Omad are being assigned to just stay up here and be gunners and getaway drivers, which he complains about, but ultimately they're right. It's also the question of what are they going to do about the YVH droids? How do they program them in this situation so as to be useful without being detrimental to the Jedi who need to work? And the answer is just program them to shoot anything that's dressed like a Mandalorian or anything that's got scales.
Yeah, we're going to have them go after the Nargons and Mandalorians. If it's a Force user, it's probably not a great idea to have them go after it, so just program them for the ones we know.
Yeah, they're like, specifically, we are going to have to deal with the Krefts in Savara. They're calling her Vestara. We're going to have to deal with the Krefts and Vestara our own selves.
And
I'm like, why would you have to deal with the Krefts yourselves? I don't think anyone would complain if a bullet was found in one of those guys.
But at that point, they're like, all right, hey, Dina, you know of any other, like, Force users or anything on there? And she's like, I don't know.
Oh, it's a weird conversation. They have to be like, hey, Dina, is there another, like, is Savara Rain the only Sith you've seen? And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about, but there's only one Savara Rain, which is actually the last line of the chapter. It's kind of it's a little weird. It feels like a setup for something or other, but also we get a whole conversation here that I don't want to skip over, especially.
Oh no, because it's
really playing for time right now.
It's Leia and Dina, and Leia is just being like, hey, you're a piece of shit. And she's like, yeah, I know.
I know. I'm a complete piece of shit. What do you want?
No, I apologized, and I admit I am a piece of shit. And she's like, yeah, well, I don't trust you. You should.
Yeah.
I'm playing for my life here.
Well, the first thing, at the beginning of this chapter, that we get a notification that Dina is looking worse and more haggard by the hour.
Yeah, even though she's had plenty of like medical droid attention and mm-hmm. rest and everything. Unlike, you know, the Skywalker and Solo combo, she's looking like garbage.
Yeah, she just does not look like she's in good shape. So finally, they're like, what is even going on? Why should we trust you? What is the deal? And she's like,
what is the deal with airline food?
She's like, okay, well, I guess I should probably go ahead and tell you. I'm not a person.
Yeah.
I am a biot. And they're like, well, you're a cyborg. So what? That's not a bit. She's like, no, I'm not a cyborg. A cyborg is a person that's born and has a life for a while, and then they get stuck up with robot parts.
Yeah. And, you know, Luke is like, no, I mean, a cyborg from a force perspective is not the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially because Luke is a cyborg. I mean, once you get right down to it, he's got a robot hand. He's a cyborg. I think Leia is too, actually. At this point, I'm pretty sure Leia also has a robot hand. As of this chapter, I'm pretty, or this book. But yeah, she's like, I'm a biot. I have a robot center, and then they built a bunch of...
Yeah, I got a creamy robot center.
You're probably wondering how many licks it takes to get to the robo parts of me. Lando.
good.
Got me again. You know, you can put your feet up if you want.
But yeah, she gets to explain, like, yeah, you saw the Nargons. That was basically the prototype test of, can we make a flesh thing with a metal skeleton?
Yeah, and at no point does anyone go like, hey, wait a minute, didn't we do this like 15 books ago? No, it was 26 books ago. Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whatever happened with those things? Remember them synth droids that were all the rage back in the 25, 30 years ago now? Remember synth droids?
Remember Guri? anybody remember anything we've done?
Well, Guri's a one of a kind, and the synth droid Lorinar Corporation went out of business because of all their evil synth droid making. But no, these are a new one.
These are super advanced because, like, they are almost like the Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, Cylons?
Types.
So they have the sex spine?
Yeah, well, they're what do you have? Oh, we're basically exactly like humans, except for little tells. And she's like, the big one you'll know is I have a metal skeleton,
mm-hmm.
and I've got fiber optic nerves.
Yeah, her eyes are cameras.
Yeah.
So she's like, well, look, here, watch this. And first of all, they ask the droid. They're like, droid, is this true? And they're like, yeah. The droid's like, yeah, of course, duh. Which, because if you've forgotten, they kidnapped a 2-1B medical droid off the Ormney to take it with them just to keep her alive. And it's kind of a piece of shit about the whole thing. It doesn't it's really grumpy.
Because
it's
like,
the bones on this Star Trek ship.
Yeah, the Krefs just left me there to die and have this droid record the process. And they're like, really? Droid's like, hey, I wasn't able to do anything. Fuck off.
Yeah, apparently, because she's being kept alive. We knew this already. She's kept alive by a special enzyme that Savara Rain has. It's proprietary, and no one knows how to reverse engineer it. It's
the
perfect
only
or whatever.
Place they make it is on the base.
Yeah.
So
so she's like, I'm in this for my life. I have to go to the base so I can get some of this enzyme so I don't die.
Honestly, I'm going to get the formula for the enzyme because then I won't have to worry about them making it. I can just make it somewhere else.
Yeah. And they're like, I don't know if I believe you about this. And she's like, watch this. And she has the droid cut her arm open and there's blood in there. And their first thought is, well, that's just red blood. Nargons have blue blood. And I just wanted to be like, yeah, because they're big reptile.
I'm supposed to pass for human.
I'm not supposed to look like a Nargon stuffed into a human suit.
Sugar, water.
Tearing around in a brand new Edgar suit. Not enough Tommy Lee Jones these days. Okay, so, you know, underneath her skin, when she cuts it open, you can see the Vanalloy skin, they call it. And she's like, do you want me to also take out one of my eyes? And they're like, no, 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 we believe you. But that doesn't mean you're on our side. And she's like, I'm not. Let me make this very clear. I am not on your side.
I am on my side,
mm-hmm.
but that side happens to be anti-Kref, and so are you.
Yeah, she's like, look, here's the thing. I will not betray the Krefs, because if I do, there's a sensor in my brain that will blow up.
Yeah.
So I'm just here to get my parts, or my enzyme, and then I'm going to leave, and if helping is just navigating you to the place, then yeah, I'm on your side as far as that is concerned.
Yeah, like, that is what I need. I have to go there to get the enzyme no matter what.
Yeah.
So helping you get there is a priority.
Yeah, so they're like, well, wait, so you're only loyal to them because they'll blow you up, right? And you're only loyal to them because of the same reason. So they're only keeping you around for as long as you're useful. So how about we just make the exact same deal?
Tell you what, We'll help you out as long as you're still useful to us.
Yeah, and she's like, okay, great. Whatever, I don't fucking care. I'm dying. Leave me alone.
I am just withering away, literally. I could not possibly give less of a shit about your bargaining.
Yeah, now there's more to it than this. She also mentions that the process, that she's a Generation 2 biot, and the process has been very successful, and that they have infiltrated a lot of... That's where the reason why there were so many corporate takeovers recently, is that there were a lot of Dina Yusses around.
Yeah, who would show up and do what Dina Yuss was doing for Lando,
mm-hmm.
which was... just sort of worm their way into being like a second in command, whisper in the ear of the person in charge to get them to sell,
mm-hmm.
or help sabotage things to the point where they had to sell.
Yeah, and in this case, she was doing her job. She had Lando's ear pretty well. It's just that Marvid threw a tantrum and had to throw a meteor at the planet.
Yeah.
So she was doing her job normally right up until that exact moment, and now she feels betrayed by them, but there's nothing she can do about it.
No.
So they've already, this is how they've been infiltrating everyone else, and she makes a point to say, oh, by the way, there shouldn't be much more than 30 of me, because it takes 2 years to grow me.
And they're like, Krefts haven't even been here for 2 years. They've only been here for like a year and a half.
How are you explaining that? And she goes, oh, you idiots. You don't know about the time dilation.
It's like, oh, yeah. I mean, basically, inside of the, like, the time bubble,
mm-hmm.
it's basically five times faster.
Yes.
So they've been here for, like, 5 years worth of production time.
It bothers me that they didn't know this, because it should have been obvious. They mentioned earlier that when ships get lost in the bubble, they often pop right back out, and it's been a few weeks. Or they come out a year later, and everything in it is moldered dust.
Yeah.
So, basically, this thing is the opposite of a black hole, where time slows down to an almost crawl or a stop. This thing instead accelerates time in a bubble around itself.
Yeah, it is spitting out space-time mm-hmm. instead of sucking it in. So, space is expanding around it, and time is fleeting.
Yeah, now Lando's like, holy shit, I want that. Because basically, that means that if you send people to work in there, they work five times faster.
Yeah, he's like, oh, that means I could do five times as much work and still meet my contracts.
Yeah.
Because I could give them a ridiculous short turnaround time.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, it does age everyone you send in there five times as fast. But it's not like they rapidly wither away. It's not like they drank from the wrong grail. They're just living life in a place where time goes faster and it feels normal to them.
Yeah. They're living life like there's no tomorrow.
Is that another song by the...
And all they had to steal.
Please tell me this is another My Chemical Romance song.
It is not.
My heart can't take it, John. You gotta stop messing with me.
It's Running with the Devil, is what I am quoting
right now. Oh, shit. I should know that. I'm an old.
Yeah, you're an old. You should know about it.
I should know.
Some Diamond Dave.
Wait, I thought Running with the Devil predated Diamond Dave.
Oh, no. Listen to Running with the Devil.
No, I know. I'm sure he did, but I thought it was from the, like, the Panama days.
No.
Okay,
because he's all up in there going,
All right, fair enough. I don't know. I'm not. It's not like I'm a Van Halen historian or anything.
It's not like I got a PhD in Van Halenery.
The only reason I felt like it predated Diamond Dave is because a few times in my 20s, this is how old this is, I used to go to a Van Halen cover show. I think they called themselves the Atomic something or others. And they would do an incredibly... They were specifically an early Van Halen cover band. They only covered early Van Halen, so if you went to them, you were not going to get, like, California Girls or something like that. It was all, like, stuff off Panama, or on the same album as Panama. I don't know what that album's called. But they did Run 'Em with the Devil every once in a while, so... Okay. Well, there you have it.
There you go.
John.
Jeff.
There it is.
Jeff.
Oh, the tension in the room.
How you doing?
I'm so... Is it Bisexual Men Exist Awareness? How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Okay. All right, we can get back to it. So they're like... So she's like, so this is the deal. There's time dilation. Things go faster in there. Lando immediately starts spinning out business ideas. But Leia's like, wait, does that mean that Han is aging five times as fast as I am right now? Because let me tell you something. He's got some spots.
But also, it just means, even if it's only been a couple days for them, at this point we know, oh, Han's probably been tortured for like a week and a half now.
Yes. Yeah. So the urgency factor goes up immediately upon learning this weird detail, and they're
this
like, yeah,
one
that's
weird trick.
That's why they're in there. They don't really care about the Mortis monument. They love this whole accelerated time thing because it lets them work on a scale that just lets them dwarf their competition instantly.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's what's going on. And they're like, okay, well, I guess that just means we have to find a way to them or something.
We got to get up in their guts.
We got to get up in there. Oh, we got to do the thing. Well, Dina knows where the fucking thing is, so they're just going to take her directions and go to it.
Yeah.
And there you go. Is there more, John? Tell me there's more.
I mean, not really. Pretty much that's the end of 18 is they're finally like, all right, well, we've pretty much squeezed as much information juice as we can out of this withered husk.
I mean, this was a lot of, this was quite an information dump, these two chapters. We get a bunch of, we get multiple new characters. We get weird shit about the way the Jedi work and the Mortis Monument and all this other stuff. So this is a pretty fascinating time.
It's a fine time to be alive.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you know, the last two episodes or four chapters or so before this, I was like, man, I feel like this is getting back to the standard Star Wars type production that we have been used to.
Oh,
where it's a little wheel spinny.
A wheel spinning for a long time, and then they got to blow up the new big thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
But at least with this one, I'm like, I liked the development with Gev.
Mm-hmm.
Like, figuring that out and having Han actually be somewhat, like, knowledgeable and turning things around instead of just, hey, I'm the luckiest man alive.
Also, I kind of like the recklessness with which the Kreff brothers are involving in this. Or, like, they just put Bardoon at this table because he's mean.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we accidentally made a...
We're going to put a pain slot over here so that he can fuck with you.
We're putting a Voldo at the table. Don't you have something better to do with that guy? There's something weird about him. Shouldn't you be taking him apart or something? Nah.
We don't really give a shit. We already played with him, and now we're just putting our toys out and let someone else have
them.
We're
just smashing them together. It's a crossover episode. So, yeah, there's been a tremendous amount of information dumped. The time dilation thing is also a surprising learn.
I mean, we kind of got that from last time.
We did. Well, yeah, because they were talking about how space expands around the bubble and that when ships go in, they come out later.
Yeah.
Like, way later.
Way later.
For them, but recently for us.
Yeah.
It's very unusual.
But, yeah, no, lots of interesting stuff, at least, I mean, the first chapter. This was the first time, I think, ever that I've seen a Han Gambles chapter that I wasn't immediately just like, fuck you.
Yeah, no, well, notably that I don't think they ever actually finished that hand, do they?
Yeah, and that's why, because I'm like... Oh, his dumb bluff didn't have time to pay off and him just be like, ha ha ha, I didn't have anything and it worked again. It's me.
I'm the world's best poker player and, I'm sorry, Sabacc player. And every time I get dealt cards, they're the best cards.
Ugh.
Yeah,
but at least...
I mean, granted, this is the second chapter in a row of him sitting there at the same table playing Sabacc, and yet somehow it wasn't completely horrid.
Yeah, well, I mean, this time he actually had, like... people that he could read, because the whole point with him just being with the Clumi is you can't read them, so it's just him looking at essentially weird blue motionless idiots while he's like, well, I guess I can't do anything.
Well, yeah,
having people there that he can be like, all right, well, this person's personality means they like to do this and they hesitated on this, you're like, oh good, you gave him some actual reading talent.
He already knew the Krefts were cheating in the first place, so I appreciate his dedication to like calling the Marvid out on ditching on his auntie.
Yeah.
Because he had to know they were cheating. The two of them communicate via IM invisibly all the time.
Bloop.
I don't know if you ever tried playing poker against two people who text each other what cards they have, but it's not fun.
See, in my head now, I'm just imagining the old instant messenger sidebar
Bloop.
Is up on their screen all the time and just like door open noise, door closed
oh
noise.
Oh my god, now who's the old?
It's me.
Remembering,
I'm the old.
Remembering AOL's instant messenger thing where...
Dude, I had instant messenger way past the point where I should have had instant messenger.
Oh, yeah. I installed special programs just to keep instant messenger on my computer because it was the only contact point I had for a lot of people that I had made friends with in chat rooms and shit over the years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, except for things like now the Facebook chat, there was a period of time in between AOL no longer being... like relevant and nothing really filling the void that you were just kind of like, I guess I'm using this or like the Yahoo chat or something.
Oh, yeah. I remember right around that point when the AOL Instant Messenger was starting to die off, I installed some program called, I think, Trillion, which was like, what is this? Oh, it combines the instant messenger, the Google chat, Yahoo chat, ICQ and IRC shit into one thing, so you can do them all
at
once.
It had the Hotmail one.
Yeah. And I was like, I got to keep this or else I'll lose contact with weird friends I made on College Club or some shit.
Oh, yeah. People that I've barely messaged once in the past 12 years, but yeah. I'll never have that contact again.
Yeah. And
who cares?
Now it's all gone.
Now it's the same thing, but Facebook, where you're like, well, I got to keep being on Facebook or else what am I going to know about my racist uncle?
I know. Facebook is basically you have to keep it for your family.
Sigh.
Yep.
Anyway,
I would love to ditch it. All right. Well, anyway, check us out because we're about to go do some bonus content.
That's right. In our bonus content, if you go to patreon.com/systemmastery and support at the $2 level,
do it.
Then you can find us doing deep dives into Wikipedia, finding only the most rare of nuggets, bringing up pearls from the deep.
Yeah, I've got some rare nuggets for you, John.
Oh, I thought you already dropped off rare nuggets before we started recording.
Yeah, that's just gross. I was talking about good, wholesome testicles. You had to go and make it scatological.
How dare you?
In this economy. We can't afford for our ball jokes to also be poop jokes.
Well, we have to.
Oh.
We got to double up.
We got to double up.
It's this gig economy. I'm driving for poop and balls right now. You can't just play for one.
And you got to do it like 23 hours a day to make minimum wage. It's the worst. Anyway, speaking of not even making minimum wage, please, please do go and support our Patreon at the $2 level. I would love to make minimum wage.
Speaking of a withered husk that's dying, please support our Patreon.
At the $2 level, you'll unlock the Star Wars bonus content called Expanded Expounded Universe, where we do deep dives into Wikipedia and find, as John was saying, the rarest testicles of fun Star Wars information to tell each other and then tell you.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun time. We will learn something. You might learn something.
Yeah.
I definitely always learn something because I know nothing about Star Wars, except that it's dumb, and I never have to relearn that.
It's why Wikipedia is the greatest place. Every other wiki on the internet pretty much has its shit together. Like, you go look at the wiki for, like, Transformers, it all just makes sense. Everything's in place.
Oh, yeah. You look at Memory Alpha when we were doing the last
Star Trek,
book,
yeah.
And you're like, oh, this is all just, in this episode, this happened. This is a reference to this. Here we go. Here's a list of annotations, and we're done.
Wikipedia, on the other hand, is like, what if there was a Wikipedia that was being maintained in the Mad Max universe, where the only law is post what you will?
That will be the entirety of the law.
And that is what we are going to go get and then bring to you.
Yes, indeedy.
So until such time as we see you with the bonus content or in another week when we return with yet more Star Wars Expounded Universe content, let me just say thank you so much for listening. I've been Elan Sleaze Boggiano.
And I got these horses in case we find the lady. Hello, lady.